Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, December 1st, and we're back with you as always.
As always.
And today things seems to be working. Technology, everything is working for me so
Mercury
far.
Mercury is morning. Not in retrograde, apparently.
Good. Wherever it is, don't be in retrograde.
That's
because
right.
I don't know about that. I don't really accept that, but as a reason for things not to work out. But people always look for something to blame, dude.
It's something to blame. What are you going to say? Like, you know, it's fine. Like when I lose something and I'm like, the elves have taken it, you know, you got to think of something.
Exactly. You know, and we deal with so much technology here that there's always something going wrong. And so when the morning starts off right, I'm happy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Knock on that cheap fake wood I love.
Yeah.
That's always the desk.
So we have an exciting guest in the studio. We'll bring her in just 2 seconds.
So
we're not going to make her wait the whole 10 minutes.
No, I can't wait.
That we spend. But since she's a very special guest. Anything in the news, though, Tori, we should know that's important? I know there's a lot of damage with the fire we were talking about yesterday in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, Tennessee. You know, everything's still getting worse, I think.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Pretty much what the New York Times is saying today. There's the whole thing with the airplane crash they're going through as to why it crashed, the Brazilian team, soccer team. So that's still
tragic, right?
Yeah, terrible.
Did you see the video of them filming themselves in the plane
before
it crashed?
Oh, God,
yeah.
No. Yeah, oh, God. Yeah. Ugh, just terrible.
It is, you know.
So,
a whole group of young men and, you know, playing soccer and stuff. And they said it's possibly it ran out of fuel, right?
Yeah, they said now is the recording, and they say there's a fuel emergency right before they landed. So,
right.
And it's a very small, one of those small little planes. I always say, don't take those small little planes.
Right,
you never hear
exactly.
good things about those small little
That's
planes.
That's true, right?
But, it was terrible. So we wish all the soccer world our respect and wishes, because that just canceled. Brazil is like soccer crazy.
Yes.
So it was very hard for them.
Now, was that like a specific team, or was
yeah.
that like, so it wasn't like the national
it
team.
Wasn't the national team, and it was a kind of a smaller team.
Okay.
And they had never gotten this far in the tournament,
right,
or as
so
some people say
exciting.
The tourney, and they got the highest they'd ever been, and it was sort of this large excitement, and they were playing Medellin, which
uh-huh.
we talked about, and it was just this culmination of excitement that just, you know, just a terrible tragedy.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? It's like, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you don't have to fly, don't fly. And like you said, no small planes, you
oh,
know.
God.
Don't fly in Brazil.
Oh, my God. Jesus. It's the soul, you always
you
hear those little small planes. You
right.
never hear, like, nothing happened to small planes today. You
right.
always hear, like, a terrible thing. So we wish everyone our respects and our wishes.
Yeah.
So sad.
But you definitely are going to crash if you run out of fuel. So somebody there really screwed up big time.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. Well, let's bring in our guest now, because there's a lot to talk about. And we're very excited to have Susan Olson
Woo-hoo!
In the studio. Hi, Susan.
Woo! Hello.
Welcome to the show. It's so funny for me to introduce Susan, because she's such a good friend.
Right.
And, you know, we have to talk sort of like formal.
Yes,
to
we have to
introduce
be
you, right?
Trained professionals.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. And call each other by the last name, too, and all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. It's not hot stuff.
So, Susan, so much stuff to talk about. Let's promote your show here on the radio station, first of all, so
great.
People will know if they're not going to stay around for the whole interview, which you should be ashamed of yourself.
Tisk,
you know,
tisk.
Check out, tell us about your show with Sheena.
Monday evenings at 7 to 9, Two Chicks Talking Politics. It's me and Sheena Metal, and it's on Channel 2.
Awesome. Yes. And you guys should have Tori on the show, because Tori loves politics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Mama.
And for 2 hours, you can sit there and say everything you ever wanted to say.
I'm going to heaven.
You know,
I'm
they're
going to heaven.
They're on both sides.
Nice.
She and Sheena.
Nice.
So it's very interesting, you know.
And yeah.
They've
we used to be more united. hate it.
Yeah, right?
You're like the country.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we've had, you know, we've been doing this for 5 years.
And, yes.
And it's, you know, there's a little analogy to the country.
Yeah. With, has it gotten more attitudes. Aggressive, too?
No, not so much. What we're trying to do is keep a lid on that and try to be an example of how you can have differing opinions and still see each other's
points. Do that. We used to have a lot of political debates very much on the opposite ends, but they were very enlightening.
Yeah,
we never got mad. We were very respectful.
But it wasn't as charged as after the elections.
That's right.
You know?
But it was a very... I liked how respectful we were. No one threw punches.
Right, right.
There was that one day. No,
we'll get back to it, Tori.
No, but I just like when...
But it's just the climate is just so different.
Yeah, it is.
It is, you know, and I want to keep the show entertaining and everything, and I think we're best...
It's like pouring salt into somebody who's just gotten... road rash in a motorcycle accident. And talking politics is like pouring salt all over that person.
It's hard, man. It's charged is the right adjective. That's a good word for it.
That's awesome. And, you know, and Susan, you love radio. I'm so grateful you've been with us for these many years. And just before the show, we were talking about how Susan was on local radio here in L.A.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. That was back in the 90s. We were all younger and prettier and everything.
I was so pretty.
Including myself.
Oh,
and it was pre-baby for me, so everything was better.
just tighter.
Gravity had not, you know, even entered my mind yet.
Yeah, don't scare Tori off.
Yeah, now I'm terrified.
She still needs to have kids this lifetime.
My mother's listening.
You wait until you no longer care about how you look, and then besides, you know, your life will completely change.
Exactly.
I say wait as long as you can.
Amen.
You know, maybe not quite as long as I did, but... You know, I've always been a little slow.
You're just a late bloomer. We call that a late bloomer.
Yeah, that's it. I wouldn't have been ready for a child. You know, I had my son a week before my 35th birthday. So, you know, and I wasn't ready a day sooner than that.
Good for you. Like good for you to know. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are concerns. I did have to have amniocentesis because, you know, it was later. So I don't recommend waiting as long as I did.
Really? So you think people should do it like... Early 30s.
At 28, most. You know, maybe the youngest.
Tori, come on, you got to move.
Tick tock is what's happening over here. My heart's racing. I'm like, just play a cool tour.
But
play
there's nothing better than knowing that you've already sown your wild oats.
That's
right.
You have some wisdom. And that's the reason to have a child, because you think that you can impart something good.
That's
and
true.
And then 20 years later, you realize you've done nothing
just
good
zero.
At all.
Zero. You've done terrible job.
Yep.
At least according to the kids.
They're in therapy, you're in therapy. Something's gone wrong.
Well, that's funny. But Susan, so you guys can listen to the show Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific time for 2 hours with Sheena Middle. And so, and I think they've shown an example of really how you can bridge over those differences, you know, those political differences, because I think both of you were very passionate about the elections.
Oh, yeah.
And the results as well. Sheena is devastated. Mm-hmm. And so Susan really had to be gentle, I guess, right, Susan?
Well, also because it was a very, you know, maybe this is the case for a lot of people. I mean, it was an emotional thing. It wasn't just a political
situation. Oh, it's very emotional.
Because Sheena and her mother watched the election stolen from Hillary in 2008. Sheena doesn't just support Hillary. She loves her. She adores her.
Wow.
And she shared that love with her mother, and her mother passed away.
So it's all mixed in.
Plus, after the election, that was her mother's birthday.
Oh, they is me with
this. I'm just like, I can't do a happy dance at all because my best friend is in absolute pain.
It's an agony. But I think it's, you know, America used to have these political debates that were charged, but they were reasonable. And you could each respect each other's view.
Right.
And this election specifically has just gotten ugly.
And I think it's because social media has amplified everything so much, right?
Yeah.
Social media mainstream media. Mainstream media has done so much to fan the fires of not just this political election, racism, everything. You know, it's almost as though they're trying to battle with social media, excuse me, for their reigning crown.
Right.
And they're playing dirty.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, That's one of the shows.
She's disgusted too much.
She's choking now, so we're going to save her.
I'm choking on the very words mainstream.
Right. It's because I told you no politics and you go in there anyway. But no, for those of you just joining us, Susan Olson, for those of you who the name is not familiar, Susan, of course, was Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch. And that's a legacy that you've had to live with, whether you like it or not.
How is that? Like, what is that? Scale of 1 to 10, how annoying is it or how wonderful is that?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a great answer. Yeah.
But you're still riding the wave, right? I mean, it was sort
what
of
wave?
Like,
it is
I don't know.
It's still a pop culture phenomenon.
There's a wave, look, but I mean, there's no money in that wave.
Yeah. That's true, but we'll talk about that.
And that's the sucky part of it.
Right?
You know? I mean, it's great to have been, to be a part of something legendary. I love that. Right. It's great to have another family.
Right.
And I love all of them. It's very, very magical. It was a magical life. However, we get nothing for the
syndication.
Yeah, and so
how could you get nothing for the syndication?
Because that's the way the
contract.
The contracts
were different
back then. Yeah,
I mean, I can't. I would have thought you would have had all of that syndication money.
No, and even when. Even when mediums changed, you know, I was just jonesing for cable TV, for pay TV to get the Brady Bunch.
Right.
And the minute it did, they went into negotiations with Screen Actors Guild, my fabulous union. And
that's sarcasm.
Screen Actors Guild said, this threw us under the bus and said, you know, the pre-existing TV contracts will govern cable,
oh,
too.
Oh, grandfathered in.
So then digital comes along. I'm like, okay, here,
yeah,
we go.
Here we go.
Again.
Yeah, here's
and,
sort of it.
Oh.
Again.
And,
wow.
And Screen Actors Guild actually, this is funny, they actually had a meeting, and Chris Knight, Peter Brady, and I went to the meeting.
Oh, wow.
And it was so bizarre because it was such a weird little who's who. It was all these people, and not that many, but, you know, older people from TV shows. Nancy Sinatra and Frank Sinatra Jr. were there. I mean, just like these people who, you know, you kind of recognize them. Like, oh, yeah, it's that person. And Lumpy from Leave It to Beaver got really irate.
Really?
During the whole thing.
I wish I were there. This sounds fantastic. It sounds like a dream I had last
night.
Lumpy was there and he was angry.
And, you know, like I got up to speak. I was trying to explain the internet, why this is so important, because, you know, eventually all of our entertainment is going to come from a hub within the household. And
I bet
a
they
lot
thought
of
you
these
were crazy.
People, well, you know, some of them were saying things like, how come this meeting was only announced through email? My children had to tell me about
it.
You know,
no.
Because they didn't do email.
Oh, no.
So anyway, we were told, well, we're going to go back and renegotiate, which never happens. So we get nothing for nothing.
Wow.
Yeah,
but we've had the unbridled joy that comes from watching other people get rich off your work.
Oh, that's awesome, right, Susan? So it's like it's got to suck when you're like famous and you don't get paid what you deserve.
Right. And although, you know, there are some opportunities to come along. I would be an idiot and a liar if I didn't say that having been a Brady didn't open doors for
That's
me.
I wouldn't
be doing radio.
Right.
You know, if I
you
hadn't.
You would be doing a lot of things. And but
it, then again, maybe I'd have that fabulous acting career.
Exactly. You'd have something else.
Maybe
you know?
An Oscar.
I mean, you have it in you.
I mean, you'd look what happened something. To Jodie Foster.
That's
I mean, she replaced me on Gunsmoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one could say that, but I don't have anywhere near the acting talent of Jodie. I think the career and the life that I got was perfect for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was interesting. Do you have any siblings, Susan?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, and they're all in show business.
Really?
Oh, and I got to tell you, we lost Florence Henderson last
year. Yeah, I want to hear all about
yes.
that.
Thanksgiving. One of the strangest stories I have to tell is that my mother had 4 kids. And it's too long to go into, but my grandmother put sort of a blessing on the family, if you believe in those sort of things. And my father considered it a curse, but all 4 of us kids were discovered at one time or another to go into show business.
Do you have this blessing in writing? I would love to hear you have this blessing on me.
Well, no, wow. But evidently it's very clear because I was discovered twice. I mean, it's just weird. But anyway, so my oldest brother was 24 when I was born. So it all began in, like, you know, 1930s. And anyway, I'm doing Brady Bunch, and Mom had been talking to whoever on the set about her other kids. So she brings in an 8x10 glossy of my oldest brother, Larry Joe. And she's showing it to whoever, and Florence Henderson comes by and goes, "Oh, my God, that little boy, where did you get a picture of him? I loved him. I loved him so much." And Mom goes, "This is my son." She goes, "Larry Joe Olson." And Florence had been a fan of his.
Wow.
And, you know, she was a very poor child. You know, her family was poor, and she'd scrape together the money. She'd go to the movies to see my brother.
Wow.
How that cool is that,
crazy.
Huh? Wow.
So, like, my mom was very young when she had Larry. But, I mean, my, you know, Florence was almost young enough to be my sister.
Mm. How was she? Was she, tell us about Florence. Was she warm? Was she caring, just like
She's
Carol Brady?
Just like Carol Brady.
Just like Carol.
Oh. Except very body in her humor.
Oh, good.
Very off color.
Ooh,
very
I like
blue.
It. Ooh.
Would deliberately, I mean, she spoiled me because I look at DVDs now, and they have outtakes at the end, and it's like, oh, come on. Please, these are not outtakes. Florence would do deliberate outtakes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was hysterical.
Really?
I mean, one day, you know how Mike Brady would come in the door, you know, "Honey, I'm home."
Yes, that's just what he said.
And Robert Reed was so shocked. One day, Florence just, she takes off her shoes, and she threw them at him, and she goes, "Go away, you old fart. I'm sick and tired of you coming home. I want a new husband." And he's just like, what?
Cool?
I love this story.
Yeah,
that's
that
hilarious.
Cool, yeah.
She also, when Joe Namath was on the show, he's leaving, saying goodbye to the family, and it's all part of the script, and then she threw her arms around him and said, Joe, take me away, take me with you, I'm sick and tired of all these kids. And he carried her away.
No way.
Oh,
is that
great.
On, like, the DVD?
God. You know, gosh, don't I wish. We had an outtakes reel, and apparently it got stolen.
Ugh,
or
that would have been gold.
Or something. Yeah,
that would have
been wonderful.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, very interesting, and we'll talk more about the childhood and everything. But my question: we were talking about Florence and everything. Do you? I mean, did she start her career later on in her life?
No.
Or, so she was a young actress,
oh,
too,
yes,
right? Because we only knew her, I think, well, at least I did, from that point on, from Brady on. So I'm wondering what she did before she was a mom on
TV. She was the first female hostess on the Today Show.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, the first female substitute host on the Tonight Show. She began in Broadway. She started out, I had gone to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts West in Pasadena. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I'm in the car with her. We were doing some gig together. And I decided to ask her about her being at the Academy in New York.
Right.
And she had gotten an audition. You're not supposed to audition when you're at the Academy. But she did, and she got a little part. And like, I think, I could be totally remembering this wrong, but I think that the school said, you know what, you got your foot in the door, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Leonard and Bernstein. She had a little part, and they liked her so much they put her in a big part, Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And then, went on to do most of the, you know, Sound of Music.
She's a singer?
Oh, yeah.
God,
yeah.
I didn't know this.
Well, that was first and foremost. That's
really
who and what she was. And then she met her husband. She was already established before she met Ira Bernstein, who was a big Broadway producer.
Sure, of course.
And so, you know, they fell in love. She had four kids with him. Lizzie, her youngest, was 2 years old when Florence got the Brady Bunch. But the Brady Bunch, the first 6 weeks of it, were filmed without her because she was doing the musical Song of Norway, the movie.
Whoa.
So she was in Norway filming that, and we were filming these different episodes around her.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so weird not to have Carol Brady in the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. It, it, it kind of, in some ways, it made her a little more special because I only met her like the day that we had the table read for the pilot. And we did the pilot together. And then when we actually, you know, landed the real series, she was gone. Mm. And we missed her because we already
It's like, where's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's neat.
That's cool. So now, another, I'm sure people are curious to know today how you guys all carry on. Obviously, you're in touch probably with some of the cast,
all
right?
Of them.
Still, all
well,
of them.
All the living ones.
All the living ones.
I'm not
ones.
In touch with the ones that have passed on.
Yeah, it'd be awkward.
I need Sheena for that.
Right, exactly. Sheena does have a haunted show.
Oh, yes. I see. Yeah. I was like, how does Sheena know the dead? That's so interesting.
She does.
She does, apparently, yeah.
Yeah. And we have another show where they talk to the dead also, Rebecca Fearing.
It's a busy night for these guys.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. You know,
can I ask you a question? When you guys did the opening and you're looking down and left and right, just I'm fascinated, what was that shooting like? Are you looking at anyone? Are you being
they're
told,
like,
they're just pointing
cues.
Okay,
they have the places for you to look and then somebody's pointing
like marks and stuff.
On the third season, you can tell I'm very confused. At the end, my brother used to point it out. Go, look, it's Susan with the googly eyes, because I don't know where to look.
Oh, that's
they're
so
telling
funny.
Me all the different things. And they, you know, there's so many mistakes in Brady Bunch that just, you know.
Hilarious.
They let him stay, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It was a different time, I feel
it
like.
Was.
Just let it go.
It was an Ed Wood production. Cut, print.
We're good.
Fabulous. Yeah. But the car split out's fine.
It's not the right show. We're going to the beach. We're going to the beach.
Well, we'd leave in one car and come back in another.
You know. Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's the famous House of Cards scene.
Uh-huh.
We're all building.
Oh, I remember
House of Cards.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you look closely, I may have these flip flop, but in the close up, Eve Plum's hair is in a ponytail, and in the long shot, it's down.
Right.
Or vice versa, but it keeps going up
and down,
up and down through the whole thing. And then at the very end, the House of Cards collapses, but it was all wired together.
Oh.
It was
yeah.
all special effects. And there's two cards that stay completely upright. Oh. Uh-huh. And Robert Reed goes over to them and pushes them down, and they spring back up. I don't think he knew that it was a real take. But it's in there.
I can't wait to watch that episode.
That's
fantastic.
Wow.
And Alice, was she wonderful to be around?
Oh, wonderful. I was already a fan of hers.
Yeah.
Because I had this... there was the Hong Kong flu going around back in those days, and I was really sick when I was six, and I watched all the TV shows during the day, and the Bob Cummings show mm-hmm. was on.
Mm.
So I knew Annis Schultzy, and mm-hmm. I knew her. You know, to me, it all fit into like that whole I Love Lucy genre of really good comedy. So I knew that she was a real pro.
That's so cool.
And I was so honored to
She
work
is
with
funny
her.
When they do those like those pans and she goes to camera, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. When you look.
Good facial expressions on her.
It's very classic.
Yeah.
It's very classic.
It is more
TV.
Lucille Ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if
so
you watch the Bob Cummings show, she's hysterical.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's
very
so funny.
Very cute character.
Yeah. So now we were talking about Eve Plum. She was playing what character again? She was Jan, right?
Yes.
Okay, she was Jan. Are you in touch with her?
You know, probably the least because she moved to New York.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to Maureen McCormick yesterday. I'm like, have you heard from Eve? Eve, you know, never wanted to remain a Brady.
Mm.
But Eve and I remained close for quite a while because we just had so much in common.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been friends regardless of Brady Bunch. But she's on the East Coast. She's in New York. She's doing her dream. And it's a very difficult dream to achieve, but she is a working actress in theater in
wow.
New York.
Good for her.
Yeah. Very
good
nice.
For her.
Really good for her. And she seems very, very happy.
I tried that
with
for
it.
2 days, 2 to 3 days. It
right.
did not last.
Right.
It's so expensive to live.
Yeah.
In New
no, it's
York
like a 2 year thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't, there's just not enough money in it.
Right.
I have
right.
to go to LA.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So now, so you're in touch with Maureen McCormick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And I mean, do you guys talk like what? Often, occasionally?
Yeah, it's a very strange relationship to try to describe to people, but it's very normal for us.
Right.
We don't tend to, like, we don't feel compelled to buy each other birthday cards
right,
or you know,
right.
Christmas cards. And there's always some reason to get together or, you know, some reason to talk to each other. And when we do, it's like no time has gone by.
Wow, how cool is that? So that's like childhood friends and stuff like that. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It is. It is.
And it's nice if you're still able to connect with them at a later age.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but it's funny, too, because... when we do get together, we assume our roles.
Yeah, I was wondering, what is it? Was it symbiotic to like the roles of the Brady Bunch? You were the baby and kind of got spoiled, or was it different?
No, it a little. You know, some of it reflects the show, but like Mike Lookinland and I, we say we were the Switzerland of the Brady Bunch because there were no. We weren't having any infights with
you
anybody.
You kept the peace.
Yeah, right.
But we were the pranksters. And me and Chris, well, we were merciless to poor Maureen.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, and then I was trying to get brownie points from Chris by helping him out, you know, sneaking frogs into her school desk and things like that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
And Barry, of course, was Greg. He was the head honcho, and he he got himself emancipated, so he really doesn't have the playing on the set memories that mm-hmm. the rest of us have because he was so busy trying to be a grown up,
wow.
and trying to date Florence. And
wow. I remember that I was so going to ask about that. Did you remember wow. that? Was that?
Oh, I remember it so well.
Really,
really.
That,
no, wait a minute. So he was how old? 17 or something? Must have been.
Yeah, 15. He had his 15th birthday, I believe, when we shot the pilot.
No, but I meant when he was trying to connect with Florence. How old
I think
was he
was barely 16.
Really?
I don't think he had a driver's license. I
so
think
he just
had a permit. He
had a crush on her, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, he did.
You know what? I remember that age. I had some crushes on teachers.
How about Florence Henderson?
Yeah.
I think a lot
yeah.
of guys had crushes on Carol.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a crush on Greg.
And to be able
it's
to act
natural.
On it. Wow, right?
Totally. Yeah, but he didn't act on it. She was... charitable.
Aww.
Right.
I mean, she wasn't going to have anything inappropriate. I don't think she
exactly.
found him at all attractive.
No.
Yeah, right?
He
and
was
besides,
like
15 he's underage.
And,
but
yeah.
it was his fantasy.
It was his fantasy. But I remember, I remember so well him flirting with her and thinking,
wow.
why does she encourage him?
Yeah, yeah.
I was a really old 8 year old.
I was going to say, mean, wow,
I
you
was,
really picked up on
I
this.
Was extremely mature. I'm much more of a child now.
The youngest one in curls and with the brains. That's right.
yeah, and that was a big deal. I couldn't stand playing
tales.
Cindy because she was like,
kind of, yeah.
She rode the short bus to
yeah,
school.
She sure did.
yeah.
I always wondered if Cindy just got the short end of the stick.
Well, you know, then I have to go to regular school because we all went back to public
oh, wow.
school. And I'd have to. You know, get teased
oh,
yeah,
for
man.
Everything
yeah, yeah.
that Cindy did.
Sure.
Yeah,
you were Cindy funny. Brady. I mean, that's right. That's
wow,
what
wow.
Yeah, and then my friends, you know, every year, you know, there'd be a new crop of kids at school that just didn't get it. But fortunately, I had my core group of friends yeah. who would come along and go, she's not Cindy Brady, okay?
Yeah.
She's not a tattletale.
Exactly.
Da-da-da.
It's Susan first yeah. and foremost. So that must have, like, messed with your head a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, it did,
right?
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So
in fact,
hard.
I think it kind of, in many ways, it ruined acting for me because
yeah,
I didn't.
Right?
I wanted so much to be me
mm-hmm.
and not be a character.
You yeah. almost wanted to be a host. It's almost like you
I
really
did,
wanted to be an entertainer.
And that's why radio appealed
right.
to me. And you know, I'd done a couple of interviews on radio where it just felt natural and normal. And then Howard Stern came to Los Angeles. And in my mind, he opened up a whole new world. And then I set my sights on doing radio.
Yeah.
So did you actually go to them to, for those of you who don't know, well, Susan was on the radio here in the 90s, but did you actually pursue that opportunity there? How did you connect
with
them?
In the same way that I pursue a man.
Ooh.
Really?
Not, you know, stealth.
Oh,
oh
ninja.
I like them to think it's their idea.
Good call.
So KLSX thought it was their idea.
Really?
I was hell-bent to get on the Howard Stern show.
Whoa.
Because I loved him. I loved what he was doing, and I thought, I dig this guy. I know him. I know that if I'm cool with him, he'll be cool with me.
Right.
And then the Brady Bunch movie came out, and they were putting together a press thing. And even though I was cut out of the movie, they wanted me to do
press. Were you originally in it?
Yeah, I was.
Was it a scene? Tell us about it.
I played a postal worker.
Oh, that would have been great.
Well, no, actually it wasn't. Betty Thomas, who directed the film, and also directed Private Parts.
Yes.
Starring Howard Stern.
I remember that.
She called me up and she said, you know what? You and Mike Lookinland, your cameos hinge on the subplot with the Dittmeyers, which are the next door neighbors, and we are eliminating that whole subplot. I said, Betty, thank God, because it stank. It was not a good subplot. It was in there to try to be edgy, but it didn't need it. The movie was great.
I loved the movie.
This whole thing of the Dittmeyers and some paid thieves, burglars. It's like it didn't need that.
Didn't need to go there.
I was really glad that they cut it out because I still got paid.
There you go.
But when they released the DVD version, it would have been nice to be on the extras reel because then I'd get paid again. But no.
Susan, what is this with you?
There's a tapestry somewhere at Paramount Studios. In an attic somewhere that says, "Thou shalt not put a dime in the pocket of a Brady kid."
That's hilarious. Okay. What if there was? What if there just were this weird tapestry? There's the tapestry.
I used to say it's right next to the picture, the pictures of Florence Henderson and Chris Knight, the way they should look for their age.
Right.
Because both of them, I mean, that's why Florence is such a shock, because she was forever young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
beautiful.
True.
And so is Chris. So I want to know where the coven is.
Yes. Yeah. Where's that elixir?
Because now there should be an opening. I can get in.
Scoot right in.
Incidentally, I guess Barry Williams called into your show.
Yes.
You're also on with Frank.
On Frank Talk.
We totally forgot that. But let's bring that up as well, because I know Barry called into the show. You guys were talking about Florence, right?
Yes, we were. Frank Schefftel, who hosts Frank Talk
here
Sundays. At LA Talk Radio Sundays at
We just
4
interviewed
o'clock.
Him, right?
Yes, he was here the other day.
Okay.
We were talking a lot about weed and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Weed.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything about
it. He really does.
No. And he said, why don't we, turn it into a tribute to Florence? And I was on my way driving in, and Barry texted me. And so once I pulled off the road, I texted him back. I said, "Would you call in? I'm about to do a radio show." So he did.
Very cool.
Was there a gathering of you guys all for Florence? Is there going to be one, private or otherwise?
There will be something,
but I'm
sure it will be very private.
Good.
Because, I mean, my first thought was. And who knows? They might do something public, too.
Sure.
But my feeling is she has four of the most wonderful kids in the world. They turned into fantastic people. And I would imagine they're a little tired of sharing their mother with everybody.
In the world,
Not only had they had to, as children, they had to share her with us.
That's true.
I said in one of the articles, one of the interviews, one of the things that had bothered me as a child was we were in Kings Island, and Florence's youngest daughter, Lizzie, and I were hanging out together, and Lizzie was like a little sister, and somebody came along, and nobody means to be rude, but people get weird around celebrity.
Yeah, they do.
And they said, I knew that you were Florence's real daughter to me, and I said, no, I'm not. And she said, well, they said that Florence's real daughter was here. I go, yeah, she's right here. Well, Lizzie is brunette. She had a tan, very dark skin, brown eyes, and the woman looked at her with such disappointment.
Oh, my gosh.
And said, I would have thought that you, pointing to me, were her biological child. Well, that made Lizzie cry.
Of course. That's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
How terrible.
Yeah.
Lizzie, we love you.
We
if you're listening, we love you.
Yes.
But it's weird because I know, like, you think of the basic TV moms, right? And it's Carol Brady to me and Mrs. Huxtable, Claire Huxtable. And it was like those two, they were my mom. I mean, more Claire because of that time period. But
right.
Carol Brady is like, I consider, she's everyone's mom in a way. And it's not fair to a lot. I'm sure that was hard for her kids.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, literally, when the first season, the kids were still on the East Coast. And it must have been torturous for Florence because Lizzie was only two.
Oh, my God.
And I remember going to Florence's dressing room, and she had, pictures that the kids had drawn. And by either the second half of the first season or the second season, she had them on the West Coast with her.
Good.
And I was renting a house, and Ira had to stay behind and do his business on the East Coast. So he'd go back and forth on the weekends. And you know, there were times when, you know, just like, you know, any kid with a parent that's working, they're not going to see a lot of their parent during the day. So while we were in production, we saw more of Florence than they
did. Sure. Yeah, well,
that's true. That's true. It's like you have a second family, right?
Yes.
I mean, in a way,
no,
it is.
She used to have double birthday parties for me and her son Robert.
Yeah.
We're both August babies.
Yeah. Wow. Leos.
Yeah, we'd have sleepovers. My gosh, Barbara, her oldest daughter, had the guest house. So Maureen and Barbara and Eve Plum and my sister Diane would all hang out together, and Florence was so cool. She'd let them smoke and
wow. Sam, Florence.
Yeah.
You are a badass.
Well, I mean, but back then you could get away with a lot more than that. They'd have their little bottle of, you know, Tyrolia and their cigarettes, and she'd just say, "Don't burn the house down."
So Carol Brady of her. Go ahead and smoke.
Susan Olson, you're always a lot of fun. I wanted to ask you about, I keep going back to Maureen because every time I look at her, you know, everybody was in love with Marcia, right? Because she was at the age where, you know, as a teenager, you could relate to her, you know. She was, I think...
It was okay to lust after her because she was old enough.
Exactly.
Sort of.
Exactly.
Sort of. Not 18, but, you know, it's a little perverse to lust after.
But look,
Cindy.
If you were 16, it's okay, you know.
Yeah,
and I was actually 14, 15, I think, maybe when you guys were around. What year did you guys start the show? Did you say?
69.
Really?
And then
I was 9 years old. Okay, so there you go.
Yeah,
so
you
we're almost the same age, right?
Yeah,
okay. So, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, same generation. So so Maureen would have been a little older for me.
Right, and perfect.
Right, perfect,
perfect,
right?
For you to lust after.
That's true. I mean,
darling.
If Greg could lust for Florence, then...
Well, he really lusted for Maureen. Too.
Really?
Oh.
Wow.
I think he got a little further.
An active guy there.
You know what I have to say?
He was in a perfect
Marcia,
position.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Yeah. Right?
Well, but think about it. We, you know, thank God all of us, except Eve had a private school to go to, and Barry was too cool for school, so he got emancipated. But we went back to public school, but otherwise, all during the summer, we were on a set. We didn't get out. We barely saw the light of day.
Right.
So all we had was each other.
Yeah.
So if your hormones are going to start doing
that's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what's going to happen.
Each of us in a fairly innocent way, kind of paired up.
I'm sure. Right. It's like the MTV's Real World. You're all stuck together. You got to have crushes on someone.
Exactly.
And not only that, but you can see that in making movies and stuff.
Oh,
how
yeah.
people often
oh, yeah.
connect on
Brad
the
Pitt,
set.
Angelina.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know. It's such nonsense when they say, oh, love scenes. It's just, oh, it's so clinical.
It's so choreographed.
I mean, we're acting. It's like, oh,
right.
baloney.
Yeah, I mean,
you're all kissing each other.
Exactly.
And end up together.
Always.
Right, and naked and everything. You know, exactly. Even if you cover your genitals, I mean, still, you're
it's
naked
still
there.
It's cheating, man.
Yeah,
you're
right?
Married. I'm sorry. You're
you were
cheating.
Someone else, right?
Yeah.
So you could marry an actor.
I wouldn't want to marry. I'm sorry. I like musicians better.
More rock and roll. Cindy Brady is a badass.
But don't they cheat more, those musicians?
Yeah, but they're cooler.
They're cooler.
You can put up with it from
it's
the
true.
Musician. I couldn't. I wouldn't. And it's funny because, you know, like Sheena will tease me because I've always had this thing for Jimmy Page. I love musicians, but I wouldn't go near them with a 10-foot pole in that respect because you don't know where they've been.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is and to me as a child, I didn't know until I was graduating high school that there was a double standard.
Mm.
I thought that when guys were easy, they were just sluts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, to me it's like Jimmy Page, I love you, man. I love the way you play, but don't go near
don't
me.
Touch
me.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. There's way too many diseases.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Susan, so tell people if they want to find you. I mean, we still have plenty of time. I love this because there's so much to talk about. But you're in the public eye. You're active on social media and everything.
Yeah.
Where can people follow you and stuff? How could they find you?
Well, definitely come to Facebook. It will tell you that I don't have any room for friends, but I have room for followers.
Mm.
And I offend people regularly enough that, that there's room.
There's always one dropping out.
Yeah, I see. And then I'll, you know, I'll, if somebody's been posting a lot of good stuff, then I'll, you know, I'll friend them. But it tends to, I don't want it to be an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. You know, I get into a lot of rants and things, and to me, it's good for trying to find topics for Two Chicks.
Right.
Talking Politics, which is our show on Monday evenings, 7 to 9.
There you go.
Channel 2 here on this station. You know, I'll throw something out there and get, you know, see what's bothering people or what, you know, people are agreeing with. Now it's just, you know, it's just a constant, yeah, right, Susan, you said it. It's like, okay, where are the people? Wait, where'd they all go? The ones that went... You suck.
We're in mourning. We're in mourning.
Yeah, exactly.
There's always, I would imagine, also being famous and everything, and probably especially being known as a kind person, you probably have a lot of haters too, right? On
Not
social
really.
Media, no?
You know, I would love to say that it's because I'm diplomatic in the way I approach things, and I try to be, but I think there's a lot of power to Brady. I get away with stuff.
Wow.
I get away with quite a lot.
Good for you to like say that. And the way, I really, because that's probably really true.
It is. Yeah. I mean,
that's
I know
really
I get away
thing.
With stuff in real life.
Right.
I say I live in an altered reality because I'll go in and I'll get better service than the next guy.
Yeah.
And the person doesn't know why. There's just this kind feeling that they have. Gee, I feel like I grew up with her.
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel
She feels like my friend or my little sister or something. Yeah, of course. And Cindy Brady was what? The epitome of innocence and just the idea of the little girl ingenue.
Although I thought she was a total bitch.
I love this.
I couldn't stand her.
See, that's so interesting. So was it hard to play her?
I hated her.
Really? Because she wasn't really there?
She was selfish. Oh. She was a tattletale.
She was
a
little
child,
bratty, wasn't she?
I was like, that's just awful. And she wasn't very bright.
No, she wasn't, was she?
She couldn't spell her sister's name. Right. She's 9 years old. They're making signs, vote for Marcia, and Cindy can't spell Marcia. I mean, what's wrong with this?
It's a remedial issue there. Something's gone wrong.
And I didn't understand. As a child, I was such a serious child. Today, it's totally different. But as a child, I went to my mom. I had a line. We all have the measles. And
I remember that one.
Yeah, and mommy comes and she brings me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And Cindy goes, how come you always give me peanut butter and jelly? And she said, because, Cindy, they're your favorite. Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting. Okay, I was like, what? What is wrong with this girl? I went to my mother. I said, is Cindy supposed to be, and I'm going to say I won't say the R word. Is she mentally impaired?
And maybe she was, and it was like a very early.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
She was a dumb blonde.
Yeah, I was going to
so
say she was the dumb blonde
version of a dumb
blonde.
Yeah,
she was.
She was Chrissy Snow as a 7-year-old.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And I didn't understand that. Had
she
I understood
was.
It, I might have enjoyed it, maybe, although I still had to go to school and suffer through everything that Cindy did.
Yeah, like, not only is she stupid for not remembering her favorite food, that's not even that funny. It's just like, I forgot. You're like, what an idiot. And they all clap, you know?
Right. I'm like, why is it? So my mom was explaining it to me. She goes, it's funny. I go, why is it funny?
Right.
Cindy has something wrong with her. She needs to go to the doctor.
It's a cry for help.
It's not funny.
It's a cry for help.
Somebody listen to this poor child.
Poor Cindy was trapped on the spectrum. Somebody listen.
Yes.
There's a story. Poor girl.
So this is funny. But do you want to bring up the dog poop candy and all this
stuff? Yeah.
Wait, what?
Okay, speaking of Howard Stern,
he's
really into cat rescue now. I was really into cat rescue, about 8 years ago.
That's amazing. You're both into rescue and stuff.
Yeah, I worked at a cat shelter and I work at dog rescue.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah,
nice.
She's got an awesome dog.
Yeah, therapy dog. Like we go to Cedar Sinai and cheer up the. Yeah, it's
I
great.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So go on.
Yeah, I used to take my dog, was never registered as a therapy dog, but when my mom was alive, she was in a home.
Uh-huh.
He always went trick-or-treating with us, so he had a lot of costumes. I'd dress him up and take him to visit mom, and then go into the common areas where, you know, the other people would
Cheer him up so much. I've done that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing pleases old folks like a dog in a clown suit.
Seriously. Nothing pleases me either.
Clown suit,
golden retriever in a clown suit. Every day. Every day. I'm just clapping. Just clapping.
It's funny. You were saying that, Tori, the
a
other
dog
day,
in a
right?
costume. You could put a like goat
a
in it.
Like Patch Adams or something.
Oh, God.
You know?
Best.
Yeah.
One
this
day I'll have
cool.
a therapy goat. Actually, I'd like a therapy pig. But
did you see
I
the
digress.
Therapy goat that she very anxious and only feels good in a duck costume because it calms her down?
Oh,
I'll show you on
is
Facebook.
Is she a fainting
later.
Goat?
No, but she she kind of shivered, and then they put the duck costume on, and she's very happy.
Oh, that's like the weighted.
It's
blanket.
The thunder
it's
shirt.
It's
it really
the same,
is.
My son is autistic, and so weighted garments
can really help
make them feel like they're secure.
Temple Grandin had that push machine where she
yes.
would get pushed in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the famous autistic inventor. And, you know, but she, yeah, the idea of being pushed, it's almost like a hug.
It's like a hug. She, in fact, she called it the hugging machine. And with
yeah,
my
that's
son,
right.
because he's so borderline, you know, whatever normal is. Hmm. He can describe it to you.
Yeah.
And as a child, he still has a fear of open spaces. Because it's almost like they're too smart for their own good. He was afraid that gravity would have a hiccup.
Wow.
And he so
we
he,
would go
when
off.
He looks up,
wow,
he gets a fear of heights.
So he's fearful that he'll be released and then he's
yeah.
so up high.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he would love cloudy
that would be
days.
Scary,
cloudy
huh?
days.
Wanted to move to Oregon or
Seattle.
Where, yeah.
So that's
yeah.
like terrifying to have to live with that.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
I mean, it creates
you
anxiety.
You feel out of control.
Still to this day, if it's a brand new, like, you know, master plan community where the trees haven't grown in.
Wow, right. it makes him nervous.
Oh, yeah, and the desert, too.
I'm sure, because there's no lid.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just
there's no lid.
Area.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm scared of whales, so I get irrational fears.
Okay, yeah.
I totally do. Man,
I had a fear of Roy Orbison as a child.
Whoa! Yeah. Super specific.
Whoa!
I've never heard of that.
How random is that?
Orbison phobia. Why?
As a child, I thought that he was wearing sunglasses. And I said to my mother, said something about him being blind. And she said, no, Roy Orbison is not blind. And I thought, okay. He's covering up the fact that he's a replicant from another planet.
Wow.
And he lifts up those glasses, death beams will come out of his eye sockets.
This is fantastic.
And I had a dream.
Sure.
Wow.
That he
and
walked in my room
you, huh?
and he lifted
opened
up his
sunglasses.
Glasses and first killed my sister.
Oh my God.
And then he was going to look at me and I woke up.
Wow.
I didn't remember this. I mean, they did shortly before his death. They did this great HBO special
sure.
where he was playing with Bruce Springsteen,
the Traveling Wilburys.
Yes,
uh-huh.
yes,
uh-huh. of course.
Uh-huh. And then I'm sitting at my drafting table. I was a graphic artist, and suddenly remembered. Oh my gosh, I had that orbophobia as a child, and I was really afraid of him. Wow, it's funny that's just now.
How bizarre.
Wow. And I decided to take a break, went into the living room, turned on the TV. First thing I heard, Roy Orbison died today.
Whoa!
And I'm like, oh my God, he was in here talking to me or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am totally weirded
really
out.
Freaked me out.
What an interesting, detailed, specific story. I love it.
She's
the
got
Olsen
imagination.
Children are very detailed in their
very.
Phobias.
Yeah, very.
And we have many of them.
Right. They're not just like, I don't like talking in front of people.
Yeah,
it's like, the grass is going to come and eat me. Yeah. Very interesting. Wow. That's fascinating.
Listen, guys, we have to wrap up. Susan Olsen. One last thing I wanted to bring up, and this is this, and I'm glad I didn't want to get to it specifically, but I want to tease the next time because I want you to come back, okay?
Okay.
And maybe we'll get a little more political now that you guys know each other and you want,
now that we're friends, we're gonna
you
end
won't
up
kill
actually,
each other.
You can come to our show.
I would
too.
Love to.
Yeah,
that,
and you
that,
but
that
at the
better.
Point where you're not gonna kill each other and stuff, then I'm very curious to hear a debate between two women. On both sides of the issue of abortion.
Oh.
And if you guys are up to it.
But we're not on both
time.
Sides, I'll bet you.
Really? But that's what I'm saying, though.
I'm not on the right side at all.
Exactly. But that's what I want to know, if someone that leans more conservative.
But she's
would
not.
Actually.
Not socially, no.
Oh,
no.
Socially not.
Right.
No.
Socially, she's
not. I'm not just pro-choice. I go beyond that.
Amen, hallelujah, Cindy
Brady. We have our common ground.
And that's why I wanted to, okay, well, so much for the debate.
That is hilarious. So are you more libertarian? Is it more libertarian?
Oh, yes, oh, libertarian. Much more, okay. Much more. Actually, I'm a party pooper.
Oh.
On the island of misfit voters.
Wow. I got to hear more. This is another dream I've had. I woke up on this island.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I'm the elephant, the little spotted elephant.
I see.
Who's not a Republican. Although I have to go online and get out of the party. I'm sorry. I have to because I want to be a party pooper.
Okay.
And yeah. I had to join the party so I could vote in the primaries. But it's just not me.
Okay. I like this already.
Right.
It's kind of like you, like, Sam, a little bit.
It is. I mean, you feel that... it doesn't your team doesn't represent what you feel personally,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
But you're still on the team, you know? I mean, what?
Well, and I just like, okay, here's the main reason why, because I think that the Republican
but
Party.
But quickly, Susan, because we have to wrap up. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, I like it when people on Facebook just go, oh, yeah, well, you being a Christian Republican. I'm like, I'm neither of those things.
Yeah, wow. Right.
I'd love to be able to go, eh.
You just mislabeled me twice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, they're showing all kinds of things about you and stuff, you know, like pictures. Like, this is supposed to be you and stuff like that. You know, did you see that meme?
Oh, yes.
That meme and
child
stuff?
Stars that and have grown into crack addicts and stuff.
And it's
stuff?
Not
yes.
even you.
And I have several friends who have also been used. In fact, Allison Arngren.
That's terrible.
I posted
how
that
terrible
some
is that? And that's
child
what
star
I said,
thing.
You know. There are
there
haters
is,
out there.
There is legal recourse, I'm sure of it.
I'm
because
sure.
Using
that's slander.
Our, it is.
That's libel.
Is.
I mean, you could see
it's
libel.
Happening so much. Allison said... oh, just laugh about it. A friend of mine got me the very same T-shirt that the old hag is wearing in the Where Are They Now picture.
Right.
Way to
so
make
I
a joke out
like
of
her.
It.
Yeah.
Humor is power, and that's why I'm a stand-up.
There you go. And on that note, folks, Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back
fun.
Anytime. There's so much more to talk about. I mean, you've
yeah.
got a full life behind you.
I'm still on the Roy
Orbison
thing.
Of you.
Yeah, and I didn't even talk about my poop, so I got to come back.
There you go. We got to talk about the dog and cat.
Cliffhanger.
Candy. But those are candy. So
edible
I want
excrement.
You to,
excellent.
There you go. Nice. And Tori, that's a good way to tease it.
Okay.
Edible excrement, folks. Mm-hmm. And so, Tori, thank you.
Thank you.
As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.